Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. It's one of those dangerous intersections, I like to emphasize, where the weekend meets your favorite notification.
Well, so, I think you and I should be lucky, Helmut.
I know.
We still somehow dodged the dangerous.
Dodged the bullet.
Dodged the intersection.
Yeah. So wherever you are going to be finding yourself chilling, just remember that song where no matter where you go, remember the road that will lead you home. In your case, remember the road that will lead you to your landlord. So take your friend, or take your friend.
And your other debts. Remember those things?
Yeah, those ones. Before you start saying, hey, Red Force. No, they're just calling you to.
Let's not give people the PTSD, Helmut, please. Let's not give people PTSD while they're driving home.
Like, oh man, I.
Guys, I have to apologize. Yeah. You know, this is not how we wanted to start this Friday edition.
Life is interesting, guys.
Life is wonderful.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
It's wonderful it most really of the time. Yeah.
So while
giving PTSD to other people.
I know. We just ruined people's Friday, dude.
Come back on Monday and Sunday, guys. Please.
Please come back. And do drink responsibly.
Yeah.
And don't drink and drive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And don't chop your money. Mm-mm. You need it still for the whole September.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at, let me help you count the days. There are 30.
Everything starts from Monday, Helmut. So you don't even have to look at this week. Yeah, actually make it 33 days.
Make it 33 days.
Mm. You have to survive.
In financial terms, make it 3 days. Yeah. Just from, you know, today to Monday, then, oh boy.
You've got to be serious from Monday.
Mm, yeah.
8 a.m. Not even 7. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Yeah, spender's discretion, out of the way, let's come back to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight. We are here until the hour of 6 as always. And as always, we have yet another exciting topic for you. And today's subject is somewhat very interesting, one that I like to talk about a lot because it has to do with cultural identity. And the interesting thing is, one, if you are a subscriber of the e-villager, then you might have come across two things actually. The whole of last week, if you are an avid listener of Eagle FM and the Home Run Show, thank you very much. Thank you for picking us. And now, you must have heard that, last week I was, flying solo. That's because Dwight was, having all the fun in the field.
Mm.
Yeah. Now.
Well, if you want to consider being half sunburnt, having fun, but yes. We were traversing the entire Ohangwena region, parts of the other O regions. Mm-hmm. Saw the Angolan border.
Yeah.
Wonderful. With the petrol smugglers in 5-liter canisters. Look, that can be an experience, Helmut.
Every sector has some form of informal trading. You have small scale miners, small scale grocery,
small scale fuel suppliers,
small scale everything. Namibia is beautiful, guys.
Yeah, we've got small scale everything in five liter content.
Well, it's small scale for a reason. The formalization of informal, that'd be difficult to formalize.
Yeah, it will be. Mm-hmm. It will be. Especially if you look at it specifically in a scenario of legitimate versus illegitimate business practices.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously it's a scenario based upon, what are those particular, if I can call them small scale fuel distributors, what are they being paid with? Is it Namibian dollars or do they want US dollars?
Wow, that's a tricky one. I've never actually asked myself that question.
I've also never asked someone that has literally dealt with it, because I forgot to ask the tour guide that showed us this. Do you know how your car's engine, your car's exhaust, do you know what it looks like? The fumes that it gives off.
No.
It literally gives off a white smoke.
After using that fuel?
Or having it in your fuel tank.
Mm.
So that in itself was a cultural experience. Obviously, dear listeners, our discussion today is whether or not does Namibia sit with a jewel, a gem, an uncut or unpolished jewel in terms of cultural tourism, or as NDP6 also outlines it in some way as aspects of heritage tourism.
Yeah.
This is specifically under the human development sector. The human development pillar, yeah. There's obviously focusing on education and health and then nutrition. And remember that nutrition literally borders, is the one dimension that we covered in the start of this month, specifically based upon how does agriculture and nutrition play its role, particularly in NDP6. And then obviously we spoke to the gentleman from the Namibia Food and Nutrition and Food Alliance, who outlined specifically that agriculture sits in two different pillars of the NDP6. So too, you get tourism sitting in two different parts of NDP6. You get tourism and gambling, Helmut, positioned under the first pillar of economic growth, transformation and resilience. And I think this is actually where we've got to resuscitate a conversation again. But we'll keep this for another scenario. The one about the lottery.
Oh yeah.
The state lottery. We've got to resuscitate that question, that discussion again, Helmut, because even though you have a lot of people that, would be disappointed by the presence or for how long a state lottery has been in existence, you still cannot ignore nor deny the impact that a state lottery plays in, firstly, generating or making the quickest millionaires in society.
Well, more often when something is adopted in South Africa, it's just a matter of time before it finds itself in Namibia. What I don't understand is why does South Africa have it and we don't?
Yeah. And why have we not adopted this thing so quickly? Helmut, you really want to tell me that not even a banking group or a asset management group or a wealth creation group or an entity does not see value in running a state lottery on behalf of the state? You know, making money for the state through this thing, taking their cut. Yeah, and any other person obviously would go like, yeah, but that sounds like corruption. Well, here's the catch. You've got to have $100 million Namibian dollars as a guarantee. You, the entity, to run that thing.
Huh?
You must put $100 million guarantee down.
Okay, but that's a very, from the look of things and also things of, in part to technological advancement.
Yeah.
That practice is already, being practiced in Namibia already. You have a lot of, betting going on.
But they are not being run on behalf of the state.
Yeah, they're not being run, which is why I'm saying Namibians are already participating in that industry.
Exactly. But here's the downside, Hamoud. Is it known as a state lottery?
Nope, it's not.
Yeah. The second scenario is, did any of those entities put up $100 million guarantee to run this thing, to generate and cultivate? Because remember,
the first question is, where is it being run from?
You don't have just one winner.
Yeah.
In a lottery. You have the first
three. That's what I thought.
I also thought that. But then in South Africa, the rules that they have there for their particular platform is, you have the first three correct numbers can win you something. The first four correct numbers can win you a prize. The first five, because they've got almost six or seven, depending on how long the number sequence is. The first three, the first four, the first five, and ultimately the whole collection of numbers can win you something. So that means, Hamid, you can win anywhere between a couple of hundred rand in South Africa to the whole bonanza itself. So yes, dear listeners, slight detraction obviously there, but the hidden jewel, the hidden gem, which is but just one part of this particular talk, because as we outlined, we will keep the lottery discussion for something else because it is identified in NDP 6 as well, is that obviously we've got to look at a discussion of what is this hidden gem. So like Hamut highlighted, you know, Dwight was, you know, I was playing Indiana Jones in the north of Namibia. Obviously, this was based upon the, you know, the possibility of being able to be transported there, and that we were a collection of journalists. So it wasn't just me alone. There were colleagues from NBC. There were colleagues from New Era. There was a colleague from the Namibian. There was a colleague from, and then I was from Eagle FM. And then one more that was a social media influencer. And this was obviously done as the Namibia Tourism Board was obviously, you know, trying to promote cultural tourism and not just the tourism aspect of things. Now, here's where things get interesting, Hamut. We actually, and I'll start off with a statement. This is the hypothesis, but it is actually a provable. It's something you can prove. We actually sit with a gold mine for potential cultural tourism. Remember, we didn't even go yet into Kunene. We didn't go into the Tukavangos. Okay,
how
into
many
Zambezi.
Regions?
Well,
Ochozonjupa and then...
Well, Ochozonjupa was but one spot. You know, we went to that abandoned mine facility.
Yeah.
Known as Abanap Mine. A mine, I really thought Namibia did not really have had such a particular historic gem. Now, here's where I split up this particular conversation. You've got cultural products that are here on one hand, and then you've got heritage on the other end. Now, heritage blends over into the cultural products as well. You know, it blends into showcasing how various cultural groups of Namibia, how they live, way of life, food and cuisine, language, theatrical and cultural performances, those particular elements, as well as also, you know, accommodation. Because in many cases, you would like to take people you'd like to take a tourist into certain particular zones to showcase, you know, a cultural product, which is a tourism product. Then there's the other gold mine that Namibia sits with. Helmut, the whole of Ochozonjupa, is literally like a historic gold mine.
So it's just one giant museum.
The whole of... Okay, yes. Namibia does have its negative history specifically with much of it taking place in Ochozonjupa region.
Yeah.
Because I also got a whole lowdown in terms of the history, in terms of the Namatuni Fort in Etosha Park, which saw in its own right also pitched battles, you know, specifically against the fighters of the warriors from the Ondonga group, specifically the king, that was our King Nahale, his particular fighters, because there's in the park, Helmut, there's not a monument. What do you call it? Sometimes they call it like the unknown. Yeah, it's a monument, but it's not a gravesite, but it's a little monument. It's like about this high, you know, a meter high from the ground for the fighters, the warriors of, you know, that were sent there by King Nahale. And on the other end, opposite from them, is also a monument that the German government had put up for German soldiers during this particular period of Namibia's colonial history, who, you know, died in the same particular pitched battle there against, you know, the fighters from King Nahale. Then you also have the history in terms of what the fort itself speaks to. So when you have always saw Etosha National Park, Hamut, and you saw Namatuni, you didn't think much of Namatuni. And then I also got an explainer there that technically the name Namatuni is a word that technically doesn't exist in Oshawambo. I think it's Amtuni or something like that.
Where is it borrowed from?
It's the South Africans came and swapped a letter. Or they added a letter. It was, I think, the N that they added. There's no N. The actual word or name is, or it's the Germans, one of the two guys, the South Africans or the Germans. So, right there, we've got history lesson 101 taking place. That was sort of like the first thing. Then you get into the significance, for example, of what the governor of, what's his name? Of Hotchatonchupa region, Governor Kamusep, highlighted also the historic importance of Otavi. Hamoud, I don't know if you know, did you know that Otavi was the place where the German colonial forces surrendered to the South Africans?
Yeah, I heard that part from the videos that he sent me.
Yeah. But did you know about it beforehand?
No, I didn't.
I also didn't know about it beforehand. I also didn't know about it because I had to go and look up when I wrote that article.
Wait, that's the part where they, where they tossed all their remaining ammunitions in a lake.
In Lake Oshikoto.
Lake Oshikoto.
Yeah. And Lake Oshikoto has linkages to the whole First World War presence. Which also has to beg the particular question in terms of why are we not exploring more of this historic period of Namibia? Because it is so interesting to understand. Here's another particular thing also. The governor himself cited that there were these various military installations. The same to also that the tour guide showed us there in the Ongwena region. We were driving on our way from... it was from Oshigambo School. So yes, our colleague Esther, you know, she shouldn't hear that. But yeah, I already saw her former school. But anyway, we were driving from Oshigambo School.
Yeah, the one she's murdering, but go on.
And then the tour guide, because the tour guide was also an alumni of the same school, yeah. Close by to Oshigambo, there was, during Namibia's independence, particular, you know, liberation struggle and war and fight, there were these, you know, these, what do they call it? Advanced military camps that the South Africans had put up. But you can still see the mounds. You see these unnatural, sort of like elevated positions of soil. Many of these particular things apparently are strewn across the north of Namibia in Ohangwena region and all the other O regions. The tour guide explained that you would find a lot of these particular things. It's unique, obviously. I'm not saying that, you know, memories, negative memories for many still living Namibians must be resuscitated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the scenario obviously speaks towards, you know, that there were so many people, just to find out that there were so many people that technically also, in a Namibian context, that they themselves can explain to you how the various war periods, if you can call it war periods of Namibia, played a particular role in terms of the movement of the geography, the impact of it on the geography of the region or on the people. That's now even before I get to the cultural things of that.
Yeah.
Because the history continues, you know, it continues to move and, you know, be present. Oh yes. And I also wanted to cite, the governor Kamusep citing he explained that there is a former abandoned German fort also in his region in Hotchatonchupa that is to be sort of like, what you call it? Is it repaired?
Is it repurposed?
Not repurposed as well, because he's in the video that I sent you, he's literally saying he is for the restoration of the thing. So that you can see what the thing looked like. And then ultimately, you know, for it to serve as a particular historic site. I kid you not, Helmut. Namibia sits with a treasure trove just in those four regions, the four O regions and, Hotchatonchupa region itself, because that would make it the five. It's technically six O regions that we have. But the top four, and then obviously Hotchatonchupa, there is so much history there. We cannot ignore the heritage, the cultural, potential cultural and heritage economy that can generate from this, be generated from this. We cannot ignore it. And you just have to couple that up with the cultural economy that I saw from day to day to day to day to day. You don't need to bring in shirts. Okay, shirts. Yes, we need to make shirts and underwear and
toothpicks.
Yeah. And we need to industrialize at some point. But really, we are sitting with a gold mine.
I think, I think low key we have already started with this.
Yeah.
It's just that we are not, we have not explored the whole, the whole, Namibian landmass to try and find out, how many things that are, that are somewhat, part of our history or part of our culture that is stashed somewhere and it's so hidden, no one has access to it. And this is where the governor of the, Hangwena region, I think I kept, she kept on alluding to access, giving Namibians wherever they're coming from, north, south, east, west, access to the region, and also exposing the, exposing the region tourism wise to not only Namibians but but the world at large. Then she went on to point that the goal is to have a dedicated airport, even though that part made me go, well, but,
no, they actually have two, airport infrastructures.
I know Tsumko, I know Tsumko has one, even though it's gravel, but, before I get excommunicated. Airport, but anyway, and it's in the middle of nowhere, like one of those, airports you find in places like Colombia that are the very questionable users.
Yeah.
But
you sometimes don't know who the users are.
Yeah, who the users are, but, the locals will tell you stay away and don't ask questions. But, that's a South American thing. We don't have that going on here now. The thing is, listening to the governor of the Hangwena region talking about, the potential, the tourism potential of the region, not just historical, but also culturally.
Mm.
It took me back to high school. I remember when at some point we were talking about, nutrition and balanced diet and stuff. And to this day, I can't help but start thinking about it from, from the aspects of, every time that we talk about a balanced diet, we talk about it in terms of most of the foods that we list down as for example, as the types of food that you need to eat if you want to get nutrients like magnesium or mineral nutrients like protein and minerals or minerals like magnesium and iron, for example.
Mm.
In terms of nutritional value, we don't give local or native, types of food that are native to us credit enough.
No, we don't.
We don't. So, you'll hear someone telling you if you want to get this mineral, eat potatoes. If you want to get this mineral, eat apples, eat oranges. But, here's the thing. We have a whole list of different cuisines depending on which part of the country you find yourself. And all these types of food have their very own nutritional value. And we don't look at, at a balanced diet from a native food standpoint.
Mm.
Yeah. If you want to get this, eat this and, eat this type of food. And when you look at it, you are going to find that that type of food is foreign. But the bottom line is our ancestors have been eating our, what we call traditional food for a very long time, and they've been just getting the same value, more like the same nutrients from those food without being, without them having to scour through this South America to find potatoes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now. So, that took me, to the direction where, one very awesome, and also wonderful listener of mine. I'm pretty sure she's listening. So you can just smile. When she came from the north a couple of weeks ago, she, I told her, if you can bring me anything, please bring me baobab fruits. Yeah. And she did. And now And I was, now imagine my, now I just like to look up the nutritional value of different types of food. And I was quick to learn that, baba fruits has a lot of vitamin C, which is good for the immune system.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Windhoek Beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Welcome back. So, well, sir, one of the discussions, one of the subjects that dominated this discussion is the whole thing can be split into two main divisions. That is cultural tourism. Put it under the umbrella of tourism. And then under that umbrella of tourism, then it can be split in two divisions. That's historical tourism and cultural tourism. And now, when you split it into the tourism as the main umbrella, and then you split it into cultural tourism and historical tourism. You see that, historical tourism is going to take you to, historical tourism is going to take you in the direction of historical sites where key decisions that led to Namibia's independence were made, where agreements were reached, sites that were maybe saved as safe havens for our liberation struggle fighters. Now all these things makes restoring these places is a very significant part because whether we like it or not, unfortunately, it's part of our history, and there is nothing wrong with appreciating that part of our history, and also making it as part of our knowledge base, because like I pointed out earlier, I think if you look at our history books, we already have that part of our history. It's just that we have not exploited it, in terms of tourism, at least not in its largest form. But education wise, we have a lot of liberation struggle, stories that have made it into our history books.
Mm.
Now, culturally, when you look at it from the cultural aspect, again, I think that brings us to acknowledging who we are first, because I remember pointing out somewhat the same thing last week, that we are not going to get into agreements with, you know, I think that's when I was talking about the two events that led to the TICAD events. That, you know, as Africans, and not just, you know, be it on a continental base or on a national level, we are not go, it will be very difficult for us to make partnership with, you know, with the Japanese or the Chinese or the Europeans without first asking ourselves who we are as, you know, who we are as a people.
Yeah.
Because if we know each other, we'll be able to introduce each other. We'll be able to introduce ourselves in a way that is not, you know, somewhat, you know, as in we are doubting ourselves. We first have to know who are we, you know, textile wise. Who are we, you know, pharmaceutical wise. Just not, you know, methylated spirit and Holy Ghost fire type. I think that's the part that makes me, you know, makes my point.
Yeah.
Methylated spirit. It's written that it's, look, when you look at it from the type of, and then, we have to know, who we are spiritually first. We have to know who we are, pharmaceutical wise, you know, like a traditional pharmaceutical, call it unorthodox, but it's orthodox for us. Thank you very much. And now, then that takes us to food. All these things, now that's actually my favorite. The food part is, food can also be exported. Food can be an export. The cultural one. Sushi is Japanese. They managed to export that part of their culture. Sushi is Japanese. They managed to export that part of their culture. Pizza is Italian. They managed to export that part of their culture.
Yeah, and now you have a whole South African range of
Franchises
selling you pizza. Hamburger, which comes from the city of Hamburg in Germany, created by two Argentine men, father and son. It's now, firstly, it's thought that it's an American food. It's technically an Argentine food, named after a German city, the Hamburger.
When last did you buy one? From the, you know, from our, just one shop that sells them, the side of it.
Like 2 months ago. They're pretty pricey today.
Oh, though. Yeah.
They're pretty pricey.
It's
not to say it's not worth the money. It's just you now start rubbing your chin like, you
going,
know.
Going, hey,
you know, can I make the thing at home?
I tried making one.
No, you just buy the shops also sell you the patties already. Designed and packaged.
Uh-huh.
You just buy that. You just buy your own rolls, and you just buy your own, you know, the things that you wish to construct it with.
You see,
then you go home and you go play chef.
Almost set my kitchen on fire. Now,
but it's not that difficult. It's just a burger.
You don't know me. At least not in the kitchen.
Look, we're not asking you to be Jamie Oliver.
Uh-huh.
And for some reason, Jamie Oliver does the opposite. He's supposed to show you how to make food. Not make you hungry while making food.
Oh, yeah. He's very good at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is. Him and Nigella Lawson.
Yeah. Now, the thing is, I remember buying one. I like to go because they have them in different sizes.
Yeah.
I always go for the big with the extra everything.
Yeah.
It took me 2 days to eat because that thing is massive. Just split it in half, ate one, but
and then you still have the chips on the side.
I still have the chips and everything on the side. But but the bottom line is, if you look in our kitchens, what you'll see is a lot of different types of food coming from coming from all over the world.
Yeah.
And, just in Windhoek alone, you have a lot of restaurants where you have Nigerian restaurants, you have Chinese restaurants, you have Korean restaurants. All these,
one giving unique cultural.
Exactly.
Products. I know that there's obviously one restaurant, but it's there in Karatura, along Independence Avenue, that obviously tries to provide Namibian cuisine. We've obviously appeared Eagle FM. We've had the owner of that particular establishment here in various capacities.
Yeah.
But that's just one.
Yeah.
I mean, in a Namibian context, guys, I am now such a great proponent. I mean, I'm not saying that we should now make, what's the thing's name? game or have exotic products on your menu. No, really, Hamoud. Do you know how many times I frowned when, or me and my younger brother, we frowned at when my sister tries to do something, you know, like creative in terms of like a meal. Then we stand there looking at my sister. Why do you have to?
Why unnecessary struggle.
Why are we having liberation fights before we get to, you know, before you literally, solve a need? Why can't we just make the food and eat it as basic stuff?
Anyone that have had a female roommate and then they had to, give each other turns to cook, knows that, when it's her turn to cook, hey, go to a restaurant, my, because that food is taking, I went home and found leaves in my pot. I'm like, what the heck are these leaves that they're doing? He said, no, those ones are to add flavor. Leaves? Really? Why? And, went into the shop and found a box of leaves in a box with a price on it. And I thought it was a joke. It turns out, the lady at the counter didn't like my jokes at all. And the leaves, she could have been going through a breakup, but didn't want to go, personal. The whole interaction was professional. So, exporting, a lot of things that we use on a daily basis is a cultural export from somewhere. So, cultural tourism is not it's not an unheard of subject to discuss. It's not an unheard of, a proposal to make, which actually it's a, it's a very good place to start from. Again, because, I would argue, because it's one of those things that, makes you comfortable with who you are as a person, because before you go out there and start making all these unions, EU, Namibia, Union, AU, EU, Union, Africa, Japan, Namibia, Japan, Namibia, China, Namibia. But, if we are going to go out there and introduce ourselves to a lot of different people, thanks to, in this global village, we first want to know who we are. That explains why we keep showing up in suits. And they're like, you're from Europe. No, we're not. From Africa. That's what you wear, yeah. But I'm not saying, run around in genuine leather trousers. That's going to be hot. But anyway, 12 minutes past the hour of 5, we are going to take a commercial break and we'll continue on the other side. But on the other side, we come with a short interview that we are going to be conducting. But more on that on the other side of the break. Do stay tuned.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number.
The best connections and moments are worth remembering, don't you think? Grab one of our great-tasting non-alcoholic drinks, Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original, or Vintook Lemon, anytime, anywhere. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
You Save prices on groceries are still the best in town. 4 kilos of Real Good frozen mixed chicken portions, just 189.99 Namibian dollars. 84 grams of Robertson's chicken spice, just 13.99 Namibian dollars. Knorr soup of all variants, just 5.99 Namibian dollars each. 700 milliliter Wellington's tomato sauce, just 25.99 Namibian dollars. 2 liters of Wright brand sunflower oil, just 68.99 Namibian dollars. And 2 kilogram bag of Pasta King elbow pasta, just 44.99 Namibian dollars. Save big at You Save.
03727 or the office number 083.
And coming back to listeners and welcoming you once again here to where we left off with the home run. But before we actually continue, we're taking another particular sort of like insightful engagement, specifically coming through from the Namibia Institute of Administration, of Public Administration and Management. And joining me in studio specifically is Mr. John Hatutale. John, welcome. It's been a long time since we actually met again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So once again, I don't know, should I welcome you with a Happy New Year greeting?
I know, you know.
it's August, man.
It's all good. Yeah.
Yeah. So John, thank you for taking the time to join us here, obviously today. And this is ultimately specifically based on that, the organization that you represent, which is also better known as NIPAM, plays a key role in strengthening Namibia's public sector by providing training, consultancy, research to government institutions and regional councils, local authorities, and also public enterprises. Now, in this continued effort, obviously, to build a capable and effective public service, NIPAM has now embarked on a new initiative to take its training courses beyond Windhoek and into the regions. Now, this is also aimed at bringing services closer to institutions and individuals who may not always have the opportunity to travel to the capital.
Yes.
John, can you help us understand specifically, to tell us a little bit about what NIPAM is and specifically what services are provided?
Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to be here at Eagle FM. You guys are doing a wonderful job in ensuring that we communicate our messages to the audiences out there. NIPAM, it's a public institution, a government training institution. It was just mandated or established to transform the public sector. And then we do this through the mandate. We have a mandate. We call it that we have four legs of within the mandate. We look at the training, consultancy, operational research, and capacity evaluation. So we provide literally services in that area of training, consultancy, operational research and capacity evaluation.
And obviously, the next question I'm going to ask you is one that builds from what you just answered specifically in terms of that NIPAM is now taking its training services outside of Windhoek. Why is this particular initiative important?
Yeah, you see, ever since the inception of NIPAM, we have been always offering this training services within the capital. We only have one premises, one infrastructure, and that's within Windhoek. But if you look at the public sector, it's a huge sector, one of the biggest sector we have in the country. And then other stakeholders are outside Windhoek. They are not in Windhoek. You find that it's only mostly ministry head offices that you will find here. But if you go, if you look at FAI's regional level, regional council,
the outreach officers of the ministries,
the ministry too, the governors, the local authorities, they are within those regions. So we decided not to embark on this journey because we have also seen the demand where people are these institutions in the public sector are requesting services to say, why don't we conduct training in other regions?
Mm.
So we're just trying to be proactive and being very responsive. So yeah, this, we rolled it out already where we tried Erongo region, Haldap region, Chinzupa region, and also Oshana, where we introduced some certain courses. So it was a good responsive. So we are going to continue with the same journey.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
Now, if we take a look at the next particular talking point, which regions will NIPAM now be targeting? You can also share a little bit more about the ones that you've already targeted. And specifically, the aspect of what kind of training will be offered in these regions.
Yeah, thank you. If you look at our offerings, we offer about 53 trainings. Some of them are short courses and accurate courses. So, like I said, the area, we have already decided with Erongo region, Chinzupa region, Haldap, and Oshana. So now we are looking at to take these services. So this initiative fires Omaheke region, going fires Zambezi, Karas, Oshikoto, and then we are just going to introduce some of these courses like project management, policy development, different courses. We have, like I said, like I indicated, we have 53 training programs, and they are all available on our platform. You'll be able to see the courses out there.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. If we now head to the aspect of how can public sectors or public sector institutions and individuals register for these particular regional trainings, you'll obviously give us now the lowdown about how this goes about.
Yeah, no, it's very simple. The thing is that you know, we are, as we are going to this region, we are writing directly to the ministry, to the regional council, to the local authority, to nominate the staff to make use of these services. So we are also having this information published on our newspaper. We are using this platform also as Eagle FM to ensure that they hear about the message. Or we are also going to find our social media platform, the website, the schedules in terms of when the training are taking place or when are we visiting that that region is highly elaborated, in those schedules.
Yeah, okay, all right. Yeah. And the next particular talking point is obviously, what is your call to action for the public sector regarding these particular regional trainings? You cited writing a letter to the various stakeholders.
Yeah.
But there's obviously also something else that you guys can highlight there.
Yeah, it's how we are communicating this is also we are looking at publishing the information on our social media platform. We have our website. They can reach our www.nipam.na. Also, our social media platform. We are all the social media platform. Or they can directly get information from our head office.
Mm.
Yeah.
And if we highlight also the aspect beyond training, does NIPAM also offer any other services that stakeholders should know about as well?
Yes. Like I said, NIPAM, we have a broad mandate. Training is just one of the leg of the mandate. We also offer consultancies in a certain area. We provide, NIPAM is a consultancy arm for the government. We are providing consulting services in areas like integrated strategic business plan, business financial plan, policy development, performance management system. We have been doing that with several public institutions, and then even this year we are doing for big companies like GIPF and NAMCO. So yeah, and then also other services we look at is within that arm is operational research. We do conduct research that will enable or inform the government to make an informed decision based on the research conducted. We also have library at NIPAM. It's a study shows that it's been underutilized, and I really just encourage the public out there to start using this as one of the services. You just register. It's not cost you much to use the facility. And we also, hire out our venue. We have conferences there people can make use of. Yeah. So some of the services NIPAM offers.
Exactly. So there's actually one that I'm going to on Monday.
Yeah.
But we won't talk about it.
Yeah.
And then also finally taking a look, John, at how does the initiative to tie, or how does the specific initiative obviously of now expanding into the rest of the country tie into NIPAM's broader vision for Namibia's public sector?
Yeah. NIPAM's vision is just to build, a high performing public sector and to ensure that this public sector provides quality service to the citizens. We are trying to shape the public sector that is responsive and also address the nation's National Development Goals.
Yeah.
As this, as we bring these services closer to the public or to the regions, we just encourage the regions to take fully advantage of this initiative, and also just to encourage people that are in leadership role to ensure that their people are capacitated. As if you've seen also last year, we've hosted, we've hosted the Public Sector Awards, where we're trying to just appreciate the public sector in terms of how they've capacitated their staff in terms of development. So this is just another platform just to ensure that we are aligning our vision to the national development goals of the institute of the country.
And before we actually end our discussion, John, is there anything else that you still wanted to add before we end off?
Yeah, no, I'm just thankful for the platform, and then also just to encourage, like I said, the regions, that you're seeing these services being brought closer to you. It doesn't only, we're not only trying to make sure that our services accesses within the region, but also it does reduce travel cost, you know, since we are bringing this service close to you.
Yeah.
I'm just encouraging them to make use of this opportunity and capitalize on it. And, just to keep an eye on our website for the schedule, and also just, respond to the letters that have been forwarded to them for them to ensure they nominate people for these, services.
Exactly. Yeah. John, I'd like to thank you for taking the time.
Thank you very
much.
And
helping us understand more about the new initiative that NIPAM is taking.
I'll be coming more often.
Thanks a lot, John.
Thank you, man.
And on that note, dear listeners, we'll be coming back right after the short break and continue on with the home run.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
And welcome back. We continue. That is with our cultural tourism discussion here on Eagle FM. So basically we are back to a home run, which is why you are listening to Yours Truly Moi. So where was I? You know, there are a lot of different types of things that we use on a daily basis that is from a whole different culture or tradition or whole, from a whole different country. And we have never actually, it has becomes an so integrated part of our life to the point where we have not asked ourselves, how did it get here? How did it become such an more of a, you know, somewhat in near inherent part of us? And Dwight, now that we are having this, you know, this subject on Friday, I can't help but just go on a, my mind is going wild because I'm just sitting here thinking about all the things that we, you know, all the things that we have in our kitchens and all the things that we have in our bottle stores. They are from somewhere. And I mean, well.
Just say what you want to say. How much the colonialism was deep.
The Italians colonized our kitchens, and we didn't even know that they were doing that. So, Yes. So to this day. The point I'm trying to make is, if you look at, beverages of all type, they are from a culture.
There's a piece of disappointing news there, Hamoud. There's a research paper. I don't want to mention it now on air because then every Eagle FM listener will run there and go and try and download the document, you know, digitally. But there was a guy that did research about why don't we have locally brewed, well, let me rather say, if you look at the beer industry, the beer industry is a Germanic indigenous drink.
That's exactly the point I'm trying to make.
It's a Germanic indigenous drink. So what do I mean by that? It's a drink. Look, the brewing processes or the aspect of brewing is different across the world. The process of brewing is the central talking point. But before that, we've got an ad break.
Shoprite, ota chapora umvaro mirongo ndato na tano donda ndo dini pevi kakunawe. Ota to chapora no kukupisa mwambika. Oke jine vinti mbuya rumba katifuwa yo real good. Kethere o mirongo kitatu no ngoi, no sendo mirongo ngoi no ngoi. O haramo materigari zo Nescafe Classic Cremacha. Nenge o haramo materigari no mirongo ndato zo Nescafe hayu zithururwa. Koto rethere no mirongo ndato nane no sendo mirongo ngoi no ngoi. Ziriko sigo gajeri gaso petemba nubo. Ino shererewa. Shoprite, no ndato dini pevi ito vuru opu inekira aruhi. I monina wo opito yoko simdana I kujako Shoprite. Landa kishimweta shukusa ombinga konga ono marayo wina poka slepa koi. Ituma kwa zapa pamwe ongoi omsindani opina wo irueta I simdana esko keche. Oko Shoprite akuke.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia, on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Windhoek Beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper.
Well, come to home run. And before we continue, let's take a live read.
Just on that particular note, dear listeners, this is the Belviche University, new short courses that are available. Faculty of Law, Commerce and Education, School of Science program is a certificate in workplace dispute resolution. Admission requirements are a grade 12 senior certificate or an equivalent NQF level 4 with a minimum of 18 points in the 5 best subjects and a D symbol in English, or grade 11 certificate with a minimum of 22 points in 5 subjects and a D symbol in English, plus a 2 years relevant industry experience that will be required. The course cost is $5,500. Application period is from 1 August to 31 August 2025. For more information, call 061-225-463 or 061-225-462 or email admissions@wu.edu.na. Belviche University, where everyone is an achiever. So coming back on that particular note, Helmut?
Yeah, German.
Yeah.
Beer.
The particular research that was done here in Namibia, every time I forget this research to try and download the research paper itself and then look at it, but it was a gentleman that came from Germany or from Austria, and he came to understand, you know, how did German beer come to Namibia, and are there not any local alternatives that were present before this beer was here? Just to discover, under German colonial processes, unfortunately, it was a system of through German colonial decree, meaning a law was put up banning local production from indigenous communities, because indigenous communities just went to the bush, collected their ingredients, came back, brewed their stuff, was happy. Now you are banned from brewing stuff and your home at that stage, and now you're forced to buy from someone else. Now I don't know if you've ever heard of the term, or you, the Eagle FM listener, of the term known as I'll describe it, where you literally establish a law in favor of your commercial process or your commercial enterprise. everyone else was doing it at home.
Yeah.
But you are the only one that...
that wanted to commercialize
it. You want to formalize the sector.
Yeah.
And commercialize it to the full extent, but you literally use it as a negative tool against everyone else, because everyone else would say, you know, I'm making it at home. I don't have to buy from
yeah,
you.
Yeah, why should I?
Why should I? But now you're literally legalizing your process and thus creating an aspect of illegal production at home level.
Or your, I mean, that's an easy way to stamp out competition.
I still want to download this particular thing, because I was told about this research.
Yeah, download that and share it, because I have a lot of violent comments to make, but on Sunday. yeah, no, look, when it comes to cultural appreciation.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like, the easy way to do that, I think, for countries that have just achieved their independence, this is basically for the most part, a lot of African countries.
Yeah.
A lot of things was done to try and erase the cultural and basically everything cultural identity, as it relates to not just Africans, but any region that was occupied. Now, I think this is where, to understand, for every group of people to understand who they are as a people, they first have to, now that we have, we are now post-independence, we now have to try and find out who we are and try to document that as much as possible. And this is something that has been seen that we are not doing enough. We have to document that as much as possible and, keep not only the documents,
yeah,
but also, the history of who we were before colonialism and what happened and how we lost, you can imagine we lost a lot of, a lot of knowledge, cultural knowledge. And now that we are trying to bring it up and it's the good things we talked about this, when we were talking about languages, when you were telling me about that one language that, I think that's only, that only has one surviving native speaker, at least the one who is fluent in it. Was that in South Africa, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, that's a very painful situation to look at because, now and this is someone I think who looked like I looked up the videos, and this is someone who looked like she was in her 50s, 60s, or even older than that.
Older, 70s to 80s.
70s to 80s. I mean,
there
exactly.
There was even one that I watched where it was the last three speakers of the same dialect. It was a specific Kwekwe dialect, and they were all sisters. The last three speakers of the specific dialect. Now, here's one of the weirdest things, Helmut. All the historians will tell you, the historians of languages, they will tell you the oldest languages in the world are all Click languages.
Yeah, I've heard that.
All the languages, the world's oldest languages in the world are all Click languages. Because at that stage, humanity or the humans had to literally, it was a format for them to communicate in. Now, it also has brought in great arguments specifically about, genealogy, and specifically the cradle of humanity.
Yeah.
Where did humans actually stem from? And it seems that there's a great argument between the British genealogists and the South Africans. Because the South Africans have so far found the oldest human relative versus the old assumption that was based that it came from Ethiopia, Kenya, East Africa.
Yeah.
And it's the British upholding the East African narrative, while the South Africans are the ones telling everyone, hey guys, listen, we
that's
found Lucy.
Actually not true, yeah.
We found Naledi. Is a name. Yeah. Naledi is the latest one. Yeah. And there's another one that was discovered also. And all of them point to older, variations of humanity's earliest origins. Us humans. The earliest origins of humanity.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing, Helmut. This particular discussion obviously points towards actually, where did humans literally come from? And that cultural significance. If I can tell you about Tweefelfontein, that is a painting that's so old, it literally resonates with the two finds in South Africa. How are you going to tell me anything else that in East Africa or in West Africa is technically where the actual cradle of humanity was? And remember, people try to understand technically, you know, why do many of the Asians look the way they do? I'm talking about the features.
Yeah, the facial features, yeah.
Yeah, and then you find people literally looking like them in Southern Africa. In Southern Africa.
Tip of Africa.
Literally. You find people that look like them. And then what historians also go and look at is they go look at agricultural practices. Like, they are goats. They are dogs. Foods. Grains. Practices, certain particular practices, cultural practices, and they see similarities happening everywhere. But here's the one downside. The report that you and I looked at, the research and development report of last year, and all the knowledge I'm telling you about now here sits outside of Namibia.
Yeah.
Meaning,
unfortunately,
Namibia also has to scale up in the realm of research and development. We've got to scale up our skill sets, our knowledge about each other as Namibians,
yeah,
our cultures, ways of life and stuff like that, because it will help cement the cultural tourism aspect of things.
Yeah.
Yes, I got a very wonderful, you know, deep dive. Me and the other particular media colleagues, we got a literal deep dive. We went head in first, not even feet first, head in first.
Head in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to throw shade, but I had to drink I drank a drink, and I accidentally went and swallowed in one gulp, the whole cup.
Yeah,
big mistake. Just to be hit with a hangover.
The next
day. I'm not drunk or anything between that time, 12 o'clock midday,
uh-huh,
and midnight, because at midnight, between 9 and midnight, and 12 and midnight, I was literally doing editing of the videos, you know, doing the necessary stuff and then being ready to ship it out to our colleagues here at the studio in Windhoek.
Yeah.
Just for me to go sleep literally 5 past midnight, and then I wake up at 5 a.m. with the weirdest hangover headache. But I didn't sleep drunk. And all I did, was because I swallowed a drink, a specific drink, at 12 midday the previous day. From trying to almost now immerse yourself in this whole cultural engagement.
Yeah.
And when I told the one guy that was traveling with us, and I told him what, I think it's this drink of yesterday. And he said, yeah, Dwight, it's that drink. Do you know that I literally had to run an emergency, emergency sort of like recuperation efforts on me. I had to drink 2 Powerades because they've got, what's that thing's name in? I would have been a green hydrogen project, my own. Electrolytes.
Electrolytes.
Yeah, because it's got that, you know, electrolytes situation, and it must, instantaneously, it's liquids, flows into your bloodstream.
Yeah.
It helps you with rejuvenation. I had to drink 2 Powerades just to get ready for the day, for the rest of the day.
Your heart was like, what are you going through?
No, my heart was fine. It's just I couldn't eat.
That's a lot of sugar.
Well, it's not the sugar aspect.
Your appetite.
It's not. I didn't have breakfast because of how I felt when I woke up.
Yeah.
I couldn't even keep the coffee down, so I literally had to run on water and these 2 Powerades.
Look, drink that you are talking about. No one actually. I don't know about. I can't say no one.
Everyone in the north knows about this. Drink.
Yeah, everyone knows about it. But yeah. I've seen that drink in Tsumkwe. I've seen that drink being made. Being made in Angola, in Botswana. But I don't know where did it originate from. Because what you are doing here is the brewing process, usually you just ferment it, take a grain and then maybe pound it a bit and then soak it in water, add sugar, add sugar and then let it ferment.
Yeah.
And then you just more often for a lot of traditional alcoholic beverages in especially the northern part of the country where I'm from, and because I'm much familiar with those alcoholic beverages, what they do is then they after a couple of days you know, they take, you know, they take the whole crude stuff and then, you know, then run it through a sieve. Now, more often the sieve that's used is, thank you very much, Namib Mills. Those bags are the ones that, act as a sieve where they, you know.
Oh, those, is it 10 kilogram or 12 kilogram?
Yeah, those ones.
The big ones.
Yeah. Those ones are the ones that are more often used as a sieve.
Mm.
Now, usually that, you know, the liquid part of the things that's collected, that's the alcohol. But with the one that you had in one gulp, they run it through, what's this, of course it's allowed to ferment first.
Yeah.
And then they do, distillation.
Yeah.
It's distilled, literally.
Yeah, it's distillation. Yeah, you're right.
Which makes it very troublesome.
The distilling.
Which makes it very troublesome in comparison to the sieved ones, but commercial break.
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original, or Vintook Lemon, let's cheers to connecting, to moments shared and good vibes, anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
And welcome back. So, we only have 14 minutes now. Now in whatever that we do on a daily basis, we are so surrounded by a lot of things that can be traced to a lot of different cultures.
Mm.
So, in other words, and my least favorite
is what?
Is weddings. Ish.
Okay, but
I'm still trying to wrap my mind around why two black people are having a black wedding and a white wedding. That's actually
a very good question.
This is interesting.
I'd like to pose that to our listeners, for those of you that want to come through, because it's probably the reason why I'm still unmarried.
You and me both on that one.
But I'd really like to know, what's the fascination with so many ceremonies? Because I can't speak for all men, but ceremonies usually equate to my bank balance, you know.
Depleting faster than
very quickly.
The data of an internet service provider I don't want to mention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, or even like a leaking water tank, you know. I don't know what's with this multiple wedding ceremonies and stuff.
I'm gonna go with the entertainment on this one. And I think it's, for the most part, it's just entertainment. And I've spoken to a lot of my female friends and they have this wild picture of what they're wedding to, you know.
Exorbitant budgeting that someone has to do out of somewhere. Someone's bank account is responsible for all that.
Yeah, I'm like.
Catering and.
You know what?
Food and drink and.
I mean, I stick to being single on this one.
And I know, doesn't matter what skin color you are in Namibia, everyone loves food.
Oh yeah.
And everyone loves to drink.
like food is something that's very amazing. I think that's why it's one of those very easy things to export, because food is amazing in a way that it's one of those very few things that you find all across culture.
Yeah,
and it's basically food and beverages. You find that all across cultures.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter where that party is thrown.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter what time period. Whether that party is being held in Africa, in 300 BC or in China in 1000 BC, there will be food, there will be drinks.
Yeah.
Otherwise, then
and then people want accommodation.
Yeah. Food and drinks are going to be part of a party. Otherwise, then it's not a party.
They flow in that format.
Yeah.
Food, drink, accommodation.
Yeah.
So.
I mean,
we really have to ask the question in modern day context. Either people start offering cheap, affordable, mass accommodation for wedding seasons.
Or. Count me out.
Huh?
Or count me out.
Of what?
Of
getting married.
And attending someone's wedding on my budget.
Yeah, that one. Unless it's on a family farm or at a family homestead where you know the accommodation will be for free. I mean, I remember with my cousins that if it was held on the family farm, I knew definitely the budgeted food, drink. I didn't even care about the drinks. I just knew the food was there, accommodation was there. You just have to get yourself there.
My favorite part about drinks and parties though. I mean, the good book tells us that,
Jesus had his own party.
Yeah. I mean, the mother was like, this party is not doing anything at all.
This party is not going to end.
This party
today.
Is dying.
It's not even ending.
Yeah.
Because someone has a party trick that turns water to wine.
And son, I know this whole holy thing, but the way parties work here on planet Earth is.
They must end.
We need to get drunk. Now.
And they must end. There's an end part.
That's still my favorite part. Yeah, my favorite verse in the Bible. But now.
You're still saying Hamlet.
I'm just trying to sort of like, wrap my mind around just, how little we know about ourselves as a species. Because if you look at the debates coming out of, especially when it comes to the whole idea of cradle of humanity coming out of the, anthropological world. One thing that you can't help but go, these are just a bunch of educated guys that don't want to say we don't know.
Mm.
But the actual reality is the best we can do, I think, at this point is just formulate theory after theory. And I don't think we're gonna know the actual reality about the history of human civilization, because to this day there are a lot of structures that are scattered across the planet that are made in ways that we can't comprehend, at least not in a way that we understand history. Because if we say, in 300 BCE, people were using chisels and all that, you can't help, and they didn't have cranes and the technology we have today. And you have a block of stone that's 7,000 kilometers away from where it was taken.
Mm.
And it can only...
And it was stacked on top of each other.
They are stacked on top of each other.
Yeah.
You can't help but go, how did they pull that off with a chisel? And they had to cross the sea, remember?
Mm.
Now, I think this is where... who is this guy? One of the anthropologists. Graham Hancock, likes to argue that, we have a lot of lost knowledge with regards to the history of civilization. Now, that part of lost knowledge, I think it's one of those things that motivated us to start, preserving, historical sites and culinary things and wisdom and fairy tales and stuff so that they are passed down, traditionally from one culture to another. Every culture has its own unique traditional dance. Every culture has its own unique traditional songs. All these things, even to this day, makes up a lot of different genres of music.
Of course. Of course, Almut.
But, we just decided, look, when you look at culture from that perspective, especially from preservation, especially for countries like Namibia that have just achieved their independence, you can't help but think, I God, colonialism did a number on us.
Yeah, it, what's the word that they use? It's almost known as erasure. That particular talking point that I'm citing there.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing, Helmut. I obviously mentioned to you now. Now, I was obviously told, and I know that there's multiple traditional drinks.
Yeah.
And you can find multiple traditional drinks across the African continent, across Namibia itself.
Yeah.
Everything is already there. Everything is there. Namibia has it all.
Yeah.
South, central, north, east, west. Namibia has everything.
Yeah, but how many of us know about it though? Because when it comes to cultural preservation, which I think for me lays a foundation for cultural tourism.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you first have to preserve it.
Yeah.
Heritage sites. All these things also have to be preserved. They say I'm not sure if there are two or somewhere between three or five. There could be more statues that are of one video that of Chinese history that I came across of a family that betrayed one of the military heroes in Chinese history.
Mm.
Now this family were basically were made into statues. These statues have been sitting there for the past 800 years.
Mm.
Now these statues were just built there for everyone, especially as far as I was able to see, it was mostly Chinese to slap and spit on them as the biggest betrayers.
Mm.
These
are the betrayers that betrayed another family.
Yeah. That betrayed an army general who was considered as a hero,
like a national hero.
The national hero. Mm. They betrayed him and then got him executed.
I hope it's not. I hope it doesn't come from the era of the Romans of the three kingdoms, because that's a period that also sort of like predates even Christianity itself. But anyway, you were so busy.
There are churches in India. I think calling them churches is somewhat of a misnomer.
Yeah.
At least that's how they understood by a lot of historians that they were most likely when they were built that's the primary purpose they served as religious sites. But we don't know how old they are.
Mm.
These are monoliths. They're basically carved in. It's basically a building that's carved out of a stone.
Mm.
Yeah. Now, when you look at all this, and also I think the dumbest part about human beings as a species is that every time that we go to war, we bomb historical sites.
Yeah.
And with that, but it's one of the erasing reasons, record.
But it's one of the reasons as to why UNESCO was started.
Really?
Yeah, because of the Second World War. They realized it was a British guy. If you go look at real cultural heritage preservation, the efforts came through from... it was a mixture of various events, small events.
Mm-hmm.
There was an American general that came upon the city of Augsburg in southern Germany,
mm-hmm.
which is just outside of Munich.
Yeah.
Augsburg, if you go see a photo of the town, you will go and ask yourself, am I in fairyland or in some sort of fairy tale scenario?
Yeah.
Now, he gave like a military order. Yeah. No one shoots, breaks a window. You as a American GI, you don't even do anything against the facade that this town has.
No vandalism. That's counter-war.
It's also various kinds of things that existed that happened also like in certain particular Asian contexts. Yes, it is counter-war. But I actually want to bring you guys closer to a scenario of why facades of urban settings are unique. So, I realized this particular excursion of last week.
Yeah.
What is the biggest point, not the biggest point, the biggest problem that a tourist will face in terms of engaging, understanding, and ultimately experiencing cultural tourism in Namibia? I now believe that the local authorities outside of Windhoek literally have a challenge. They should have tackled this challenge long time ago. I have nothing wrong, Helmut, with you having a football field and a half of plantation, which you live at with your homestead.
Yeah, private.
Next to mine. No, we are communal.
Oh, okay.
Next to mine, next to Hendes. Mm-hmm. We all sit next to the same road, right? We are neighbors to each other. Yeah. We sit next to the same road. I remember, it's just a hectare and a half. Each one of the homestead. That shows it's someone's home. I actually believe the local authorities should just invest in basic infrastructure like street names, road names, at least something. Helmut, do you know how many times the tour guide that we were traveling with had to stop and ask Hende, do you know where so-and-so and this particular shrine or that particular burial site of this particular Ondonga king mm-hmm. was situated?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how many times, Helmut, and you should see how we are navigating. It's like literally walking around with a wishbone, that wishbone stick, you know, looking for water. Because if we didn't find a specific woman at a specific time with her dog,
who's familiar with the vicinity,
who's familiar, we wouldn't have found that shrine. Yeah. Or we wouldn't have found that burial site.
It's not on Google Maps?
No, bruh.
Seriously.
But I'm explaining to you things where you, I'm explaining to you things that literally it's just, you can see this is the cattle there were your explorers. They were your expeditionary force. The cattle.
Yeah.
The cattle and the cat and the cattle herder. They were your expeditionary force in this scenario.
Yeah.
So if the local authorities literally put or allocate reasonable amount of resources to properly develop certain particular things, because you need, obviously need traffic for people to see tourism.
Mm-hmm.
To immerse themselves in sites,
mm-hmm.
in communities, for the communities to derive the economy that is necessary for the participation. You need a turn off, an indicator, like a street name, and stuff
a
like
sign.
That. A sign or something. I love the excursion, I love the immersion, but I immediately saw the problem.
You didn't enjoy the getting lost?
No, we didn't get lost. But if it was up to me,
mm-hmm.
if you asked me to go and self-drive in the north.
Yeah. You would have gotten lost.
But I would have turned into someone's homestead and demanded, you know, where am I sleeping tonight? Hanakam, it's still 7 km in that direction.
Ouch.
So, directions, features, you know, infrastructure that helps with directions and traffic is critical. The elderly couple that gave us a demonstration of, the Kwanyama, wedding ceremony, known as an ifundula, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. The elderly couple, to find the elderly couple
mm-hmm.
itself, themselves, and their homestead, because the homestead was also, is also a monument itself, the way they explain it, because it was literally like 45 years to 50 years that this homestead has been in existence. So technically the thing should be a heritage site as well. Where they, you know, and they gave us a demonstration of this traditional wedding ceremony, but it's like a pre-wedding ceremony. Firstly, it firstly has to prove sort of like the woman's, it's not virginity test, but it's sort of like, it's sort of like a anti-pregnancy exercise. Yeah. I have to explain it like that because one of the activities is that the woman has to, jump the unmarried woman.
Uh-huh.
She can bring her partner
uh-huh.
from any particular tribe, whatever. It's like it was explained, it's open, you know, open to all tribes and ethnicities. But the woman has to go through this exercise in terms of proving that she can jump over this. It's that wishbone sticks.
Uh-huh.
But what we were shown was literally like a twig situation split in half.
Mm.
And I was like, okay, how difficult would it be for the woman just to run through the twig even?
Mm.
Because it was so fragile. To jump over that, there's another process in terms of obviously the grinding of mahangu process,
mm-hmm.
which is another test for the woman. Then you move inwards into the homestead, and then there's another particular sort of like activity situation. So we got the whole, you know, the guided tour.
Mm-hmm.
The scenario from this is the bundu bashing, the bushwhacking we had to do to get.
That's part of the tour, you know.
Yeah, but here's the thing. A tourist, Helmut, doesn't have time. Even though Hende is also telling us now, wrap it up. A tourist wants to get to the activity and come out.
Uh-huh.
So some aspect of infrastructure development, laying, you know, just guidance, markers, stuff, clearing a pathway accessible for everyone. Voila, Bob's your uncle. From there, things should only be positives.
Yeah.
And the canals that I mentioned a little bit earlier, because you want tourism throughout the year. So rainfall or standing water or moving water or floodplains shouldn't disrupt that economic activity.
All right, 3 minutes into the hour of HD, Homeran says goodbye on Sunday for me.
And
also
me.
Dwight.
Yeah.
Okay. And me also, actually. Sunday evening.
Yeah, your Sunday evening.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. All right.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM,